the Lord.
Good morning. I want to welcome you all. It's so good to have you with us. Thanks, Ed, for putting the battery in correctly. Kind of a private joke. So I had planned to bring a different message today, but I felt that the Lord was telling me now's not the right time, and to be honest, I didn't have the right heart. That's a bit exposing, but it's true. And I believe it's good for church leaders to admit their own faults and shortcomings and be transparent, amen? Amen. I deal with wrong thoughts just like everybody else. And I'm truly grateful for the Lord and His leading and guiding, and I continue to pray that He helps me stay on the right track. Now, there's nothing wrong or untrue about the message that I was working on, but I will wait for God to give me the go-ahead on that one when the time is right. Today, I want to share with you what happened during my time with God after He said those things to me. I was sitting here in the sanctuary, just spending some time in prayer, and I heard the Lord say to me, "I am who I am, and you are who you are because of me." I knew that I actually shared it with the healing team that Saturday morning. I knew the first half was right out of Scripture, and I immediately found it in Exodus 3:14. And there's some significance to this, which we'll get into, but I think it's important first to get the right heart attitude here in this room. So can we pray together? Father, your word says that where there's unity, the anointing flows. And we truly want your spirit to be a part of this service and a part of your people this morning. Help us to come together in peace and unity and love and prepare our hearts for what you have planned for this day in Jesus' name. Amen. And I felt that praying before delivering this message is important, and I'll tell you why. There's a difference in how we hear things versus what is actually said. There can be a translation issue. For instance, when the Lord said to me, "I am who I am," that immediately caught my attention and caused me to listen very intently. But when He said, "You are who you are because of me, now hear me," because of where my heart was, I took it as sort of sarcastic. That's just where my heart was at that time. It affected my hearing. But I opened my spirit up to the Lord and began to receive what God was saying. And so I'll share what the Lord spoke to me over the days and weeks that followed. And I pray that your heart is open and ready to receive it. I know the heart of God. I know the character of God. He is love. And I had to repent from my heart attitude and how I heard Him speak to me. So let's go to Exodus 3. And while we're going there, I want to say, God has something great in store for you and I. But are we willing to believe it? I mean, really, believe it. And so we're going to start in verse 10. And we're going to read to verse 17. "And now come, and I will send you to Pharaoh so that you may bring my people, the sons of Israel, out of Egypt." But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the sons of Israel out of Egypt?" And God said, "Assuredly, I will be with you. And this shall be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have people, when you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall worship God at this mountain. Verse 13, then Moses said to God, behold, I am going to the sons of Israel, and I will say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. Now they may say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, this is what you shall say to the sons of Israel. I am has sent me to you. And God furthermore said to Moses, this is what you shall say to the sons of Israel. The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is the name for all generations to use to call upon me. Go and gather the elders of Israel together and say to them, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob has appeared to me, saying, I am indeed concerned about you and what has been done to you in Egypt. Verse 17, so I said, I will bring you up out of the oppression of Egypt to the land of the Canaanite, the Hittite, the Amorite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite, to a land flowing with milk and honey. See, God was preparing to take his people to live in the land of their enemies. He was giving them as a possession all that they had. That's what God can do to our enemies. And I truly believe a move of God is coming, and we need to be ready. I truly believe in God's timing. We'll wait. And I believe there's a move of God coming, and we need to get on board, and that includes me. I don't want to be left out. But some will be left out because they lack the faith to believe and to move into what God is asking of us. Sound familiar? I've titled this message, God Will Do Great Things. And God can and will do great things, but not for everyone. And let's be clear, it will be their choice. John 14, 12. Truly, truly, I say to you, the one who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I am going to the Father. Nowhere in that scripture does it say that people who talk the talk but aren't willing to walk the walk will ever see the power of God in their personal lives. And I hope that's not too harsh. Nowhere. And especially for what's coming. It's going to take action. Do you believe that? Now, we didn't talk about what I was going to bring today. And so you were looking for the prophetic word. You were the prophetic word. Even though it didn't come in tongues, you were the prophetic word. So, look, church, James 2:17 in the Amplified says, so too, faith, if it does not have works to back it up, is by itself dead. Inoperable and ineffective. Those aren't my words, nor my interpretation of the words. This is Bible truth. Billy Graham said, it doesn't matter what you think about it, the Bible is true whether you accept it or not. In Exodus 3:14, God told Moses, I am who I am, and go tell my people I'm coming. But it started with God telling him he was going to have to do something. He was going to have to make the first move, then God would back him up. The first thing Moses did was look for excuses. In verse 10, he says, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh? To get more in depth with his issue, in Exodus 4:10, Moses said to the Lord, and I know we've heard this recently, please, Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither recently nor in time past, nor since you have spoken to your servant, for I am slow of speech, slow of tongue. I tried to use that excuse. It didn't work. <That didn't> work. When God starts moving, we either, as Pastor said in a message a few weeks ago, agree with heaven or get out of his way. No excuses. God immediately replied to Moses in his weakness by saying, "Assuredly, I will be with you." If we're open to the Spirit of God in our lives, we can hear him speak encouragement and peace to us in times of great stress. When we do what God is asking us to do, it won't always be a simple, easy thing. But we still must do it, believing that assuredly God is with us. And I'm hoping to encourage you today to be ready. I don't know the where's, the when's, the how's. So we need to be listening to the prophetic voices in our nation and what they're saying. Bible says that we prophesy in part. Here's my part. We need to be ready. I'm being obedient to what God, what I believe God showed me and spoke to me. God will do great things for this church and for you and I if we believe and prove our faith with our works. As I was studying this out, I found it interesting that Israel's enemies were going to lose all their possessions. God was taking everything. Church, a move of God is coming. What I found most interesting in my study is that each one of those enemies named in that scripture had a trait or a characteristic that identified them, that we can identify with today as our enemies, those things that will keep us from moving with God when he comes. So let's put up the Exodus 3:17 again. Now get this. They had the Canaanites. The name means merchants who humiliate. Financial giants motivated by greed and lust for more wealth that the Bible says is all temporary. James 4:4 says, "You adulteresses, do you know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? Therefore, whoever wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God." This can be a huge blind spot that will keep the power of God out of our lives. Then they had the Hittites. The name means terror. They were giants who brought fear, confusion, and discouragement to others. These are definitely very powerful enemies. But Proverbs 29:25 says, "The fear of man brings a snare, but the one who trusts in the Lord will be protected." Then they had the Amorites. They were arrogant and boastful in their speech, had a high self-esteem and tremendous pride, which led to finding fault in others. But God is the only judge. Proverbs 8:13, "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, arrogance, the evil way, and the perverted mouth I hate, says the Lord." If we judge others, then we will also be arrogant before God and miss the power of God's move in this coming time. Then they had the Perizzites, who separated themselves and lived in unprotected, unwalled cities with no discipline or restrictions. But we cannot live like this. We have to be completely surrendered to God's commandments. Proverbs 25:28. "Like a city that is broken into and without walls, so is a person who has no self-control over his spirit." God will only give more to one he can trust. Amen? Then they had the Hivites, who claimed to offer a good lifestyle. Phrases like, "If it feels good, do it." And, "Don't worry what other people think," or, "How about this one? Look out for number one," were phrases they lived by. I know people who are like that, and they are about as far from God as possible. God cannot use them. And lastly, there were the Jebusites. They exploited and polluted others through immoral activities. Bible says our bodies are a temple of the Lord. Matthew 5, 27 and 28. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery, but I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. God takes this stuff seriously. Can you see why he decided to severely punish those people? They lived their lives contrary to the way God designed our life to be lived, supporting each other and lifting each other up in love. And with God's help, we can remove these enemies that affect our lives again and again and again. Our part is to attack our enemies, defeat them, so these things will not keep us from being a part of the move of God coming. Then we need to stay spiritually healthy and remain obedient to him. This research was eye-opening, and I'm really, really glad for what I got out of this. The person who wrote this blog, which I forgot to record his name, says, God allows our enemies access to us to perfect us, meaning we learn better battle tactics and more about who we are, which I see more and more. I need to get this myself. You could say, Joe, is that scriptural? Does God allow access to us? Well, 1 Corinthians 10:13, I'm going to give it in the J.B. Phillips version, says, no temptation has come your way that is too hard for flesh and blood to bear, but God can be trusted not to allow you to suffer any temptation beyond your powers of endurance. He will see to it that every temptation has a way out so that it will never be impossible for you to bear it. And as someone who has faced these temptations at times, the best way out is shouting the name of Jesus over those things that cause us to be distant from God. Shout the name of Jesus in victory over our enemies. There is power in that name. And maybe you don't know what enemies you have in your life. Maybe you need help to identify what they are. As Amy said, ask him. Ask him. And when he reveals them to you, then know that you'll have to do something about it. Clarence Haynes Jr., he's a speaker and a Bible teacher, he says, the longer these things linger, the more difficult they are to move away from. If something is present in your life, deal with it and do it quickly. Praise you, Lord. And I'm going to come to a close here. For those who are seeing what's happening out there, corruption is being exposed. People are being exposed for who they really are and not who they made people think they are. And God isn't done. And when this move comes, let's be ready, both corporately and personally. Let's show him why he chose us for this time. The other thing that God said to me was, you are who you are because of me. When you hear it in the voice of the character of God, he is love, then he reminds you of not just all that he did for us, but who we are because of what he did for us. Amen. And I feel like I still have a lot to learn about this, you know, and I'm going to continue to search it out. But for now, I'll stand on the words we have in his book, from his mouth, which stands the test of time. Colossians 2:10, and this is out of the Amplified. In him, you have been made complete, achieving spiritual stature through Christ, and he is the head over all rule and authority of every angelic and earthly power. Jeremiah 31:3, and this is from the New Living Translation. I have loved you, my people, with an everlasting love. With unfailing love, I have drawn you to myself. We were handpicked by God. Isn't that awesome? Deuteronomy 7:6, and this is in the Amplified. For you are a holy people, set apart to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you out of all the peoples on the face of the earth to be a people of his own, for his own possession. That is his very special treasure. And then the one I hang on to most, Hebrews 13:5. I will never desert you, nor will I ever abandon you. I know at times it's easy to forget that one. But when God makes a promise, we need to believe them and remember them often. And so look, I don't claim to be a prophet like Moses. But when God said, I am who I am and you are who you are because of me, I've come to understand that God is saying, I'm coming, be prepared, destroy your enemies, and lastly, know who you are in him. I know God is speaking to me because it's been confirmed multiple times. And I can tell when God is just speaking to me personally or when he's preparing a message to bring to the body. And God showed me he's been speaking to this body for some time to get us prepared. All the messages God has been bringing to this church through those speaking from this pulpit, they've been meant to help us develop a battle plan for the moves of God coming and to prepare us to defeat those enemies we need to. And to be quite honest, if you can't remember the message by dinner time on Sunday night, that's a problem. That just means that the enemy has already stolen the seed sown. This is why we put the messages on a podcast on our website. This is why we have the ability to do things on Facebook. So you can review it again and again and again. Don't let the seed be stolen. God will do great things. Will we be ready? Are we willing to put in the time or make the necessary changes? If not, we will miss it. Don't let that happen. Let's honor God with a life lived with him in mind, just like his son Jesus did for us. That's why we commit our lives to a relationship with him. These enemies of Israel had traits or characteristics, things that they did wrong in God's eyes that became their identity. It was who they were. I don't know about you, but I want my identity to be in him and in him alone, where God sees me as righteous because of him. God bless you. Amen.
The master has a master plan. You don't have that plan unless you hear it from him. Just like to read one scripture that kind of sums up a lot of what you were alluding to, Joe. And I actually shared this not too long ago. Philippians 2, I'll start in verse 12. Which says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. It doesn't mean, you know, cowering in fear. It's not talking about fearing God in that way. But respecting him, listening to him, submitting to the Holy Spirit. That's all what that is alluded to there. For verse 13, for it is God who is at work in you. Stop rebuking the devil. You're wasting your time. It's God that is at work in you, the Bible says, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. He knows what he's doing. Everything is done with a purpose as part of his plan for your life. And so get with the program, as they say. Why fight it? You know, sometimes we think we know until God tells us we don't know. Right, Joe? We think we know until we find out, oh no, we don't know, do we? And so God wants you to be intimately acquainted with him first, and intimately acquainted with his plan for your life. That comes with a cost. There's no, I can't sugarcoat that. It comes with a cost. There's no substitute for spending time in the Word, in prayer, in worship, the things that are basic to a disciple, to a Christ follower. There's just no substitute for those things. That's like foundational. And we shouldn't expect things to change, as Joe was alluding to. If we're not willing to go with the plan, go with the flow of the Holy Spirit, why on earth should we expect God to move in power, whether it's in our life or in the church? So this is a sobering word. It's not a, you know, slap in the face, but it's like a sobering word. It's not mean. It's not mean-spirited. It's meant to encourage. As he said, God loves us. Everything he does is motivated by his love for us. So, again, as he said, those things we make available Monday morning or even Sunday afternoon, that this today's word is on the church website. So you can listen to it while you're driving to work. It's downtime. It's dead time. Or any other time. It's available to be accessed. Or Facebook itself, the live video and audio version. So I encourage you to fellowship with one another downstairs, or even just, you know, life is busy. I understand some of you have plans. Just greet one another. Get to know one another. That's what being the body of Christ is all about, is interacting, connecting, intersecting with one another. God bless you.